The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
I do not feel one bit of fear about what's going on in the world today. I am not the least bit afraid of not being taken care of. I'm not afraid that I'm going to be hurt. You hear all the violence out there. I'm not the least bit afraid of that. I feel so safe in God's arms. I know that God is going to take care of us.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find Him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers.
Hey everybody, today we are addressing a topic that seems to be on everyone's mind, the end times. You've maybe heard it called the last days. There are so many questions. Sometimes there's a lot of fear, definitely uncertainty about all this and how we should respond. So today, Joyce is going to dig into God's Word and help us to understand what the Bible says about it and how we should be prepared. But first, we received a really delicate and personal question on Twitter. So earlier, Joyce and I had the opportunity to sit down as she answered this question. Well, Joyce, here's the question, and this is one of those that as soon as we saw it online, your heart just breaks for the person sharing this. Mm-hmm. And so we really wanted to do anything that we could to help her. Joni writes, locked in a room for 2 years by my mom, who was a heroin addict and made to have sex with men to support her habit. How do you forgive?
Well, having had some similar situations, I can share what really helped me. And the one thing that really I remember helping me so much was when God put it on my heart to remember that hurting people hurt people. So her mother had a huge problem. It wasn't Joni's problem. It wasn't her fault. There wasn't something wrong with her. Her mother had a huge problem. And I cannot imagine what it would be like to be addicted to heroin. But they say that it is one of the hardest drugs to get off of. And I guess when you're addicted to something like that, it just makes you do absolutely unspeakable things that you would never do otherwise. And it really helped me when I realized that my father was hurting. He didn't appear to be hurting, but I found out later that he had actually been hurt in his childhood and that there was a background of incest that he was involved in even when he was young. And so I don't think that anybody, at least I don't think there's very many people that just get up every day trying to see how many people they can make miserable. I think that people just have problems, and sadly, a lot of times their problems end up hurting other people. And this is also very unique. When my dad finally did apologize to me, which was almost 40 years after the fact, he said, I had no idea that what I was doing to you would hurt you so bad. So I think, let's just say that this girl's mother, she's in her pain, she's in her addiction. She probably, number one, never even considered what this was going to do long-term to her daughter. Yeah. I think sometimes when people are hurting themselves really bad, they just, their own pain is so bad, they don't even really know how to consider what their actions are doing.
Right.
I mean, you take an alcoholic father in a family or an alcoholic mother, they're so caught in their own trap of what they're going through that they probably don't even comprehend what that's doing to the rest of their family.
And that doesn't make it okay.
No, absolutely not.
But it doesn't make it okay. But it helps you to have a different perspective.
It helps you to have a different perspective. And I guess the thing that I would just like to encourage Joni with is, yes, it's hard. It's hard to forgive somebody who's hurt you, but really, you're doing yourself a favor when you do that. And something that God showed me recently that actually was a line I heard in a movie that I really like is like, you only have to forgive one time. But if you're gonna be angry and full of hatred, you have to do that every day, all day long, the whole rest of your life. And so I really pray for Joni and anybody else who needs this kind of an answer, that she'll do herself a favor and forgive.
Tony, thank you for your question. And we really do pray for you. And we pray that that was helpful to you, because Joyce is living proof that you can heal from a situation that is so devastating. So now our question for today, it's on many people's mind. Are these the last days? Here's Joyce.
Tonight, I'm going to teach on the last days. You're thinking, well, that's kind of out of the box for you, isn't it, Joyce? But that's all right. I'll work all my regular stuff into it. Father, we thank you for the word tonight and all that you're going to say and do to people. And we do know, God, that we are living in desperate times. And we know that we not only need you, but you need us. And you need us to be a light in this dark world. And so we're asking you to help us tonight make decisions about how you want us to live. And show us everything that we need to see. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're living in really serious times. You have to have lived a little while, I guess, to know really how much the world is changing and how frighteningly fast it is changing. And I have lots of scriptures that I want to show you tonight, especially in the first part of this. And I think it's important for you to see them, because we really should not be all that surprised by anything that's going on today, because it's all already told us in the Word of God. And I just want to say, if you're alive at this time in history, it's not an accident. God chose you to live in this time, and he chose me to live in this time for a purpose. And we've got what it takes to be here, to not be afraid, to be victorious, and to be people that God can use to change other people's lives. The world needs Christ. The part of the world that doesn't know him, that's what they need. The government's not our answer. God's the answer. We need God in our life. And so many people today are mixed up about God. They've had some attempt at some brand of religion, and they've gotten hurt, and it didn't meet their needs, and so now they think God can't help them. And sadly, a lot of people aren't going to church to find their answers. They're watching us. They're watching us. They're watching us. They're watching us. I gotta shut up. You clap louder than that. They're watching us. So here we go. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. But understand this, that in the last days will come and set in perilous times of great stress and trouble. Great stress and trouble. Hard to deal with and hard to bear. How many of you know that it's a little hard out there today? It's a little bit difficult, isn't it? And I was listening to somebody recently who's a Greek scholar, and he said in this scripture where it says the last days, it's a different Greek word than other places where it says last days. Here, it means the last of the last days. And so in the last of the last days, and I don't know how last we are, but we're laster than we were last year. Nobody knows the exact time when he's going to come, but, you know, it's pretty obvious why God doesn't tell us when, because we might try to wait till 2 weeks ahead of time and get ready. So he wants us to live ready. We don't need to get ready. We need to live ready. People are always saying, well, do you think Jesus is coming back soon? Well, you know, I don't know exactly when he's coming back, but I think we need to live like he's coming back at any minute. Amen? So he says we're living in difficult times, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Now, I'm going to do a little checklist tonight and see if we really think we're living in the last days or if we think we're not. People will be lovers of self. Check. Utterly self-centered. Check. Lovers of money. Check. Aroused by an inordinate, greedy desire for wealth. Proud and arrogant. Contemptuous boasters. Check. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing. Scoffing means making fun of God and godly things. And we have a lot of that going on today, and it is very disturbing. They will be disobedient to parents. Ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman. Check. Relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement. Nobody wants to be wrong. Check. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, loose in morals, no discipline, uncontrolled. Doesn't sound too good, does it? They will be treacherous, betrayers, rash and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements. Check, 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 check. So we can say, man, the world really is in a mess. But we better read verse 5. For although they hold a form of piety, true religion, although they hold a form of religion, so is he really just talking about the world that we think is the world that's unsaved, or is he maybe talking about a lot of the church today? They deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. So he talks about all these different things that are going to be going on. Now let's look at 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. That's just like going right on to the next chapter. And I love this part. Paul has given Timothy a charge as a young minister. He says, now I charge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and bind in the light of his coming, herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. Now, buckle your seatbelt. You as a preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong. Well, we can't get a check mark on that one. People don't always care for that. You know how difficult it is to try to share with somebody something that they're doing that's wrong? You can't even get that over on your kids, and they're supposed to be listening to you, let alone a church full of people. I'll tell you a story I heard that I think is sad. You know, first of all, I think we need to love each other enough to confront one another when we have to in a loving way. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. There were three young ladies, young women, all with young children, and this group of ladies had a girls' night out, and the pastor heard that they had gone to this extremely ungodly, filthy, dirty movie. And so, out of love and concern, he went to each one of their houses one by one and sat down and talked with them and shared with them why he was coming. This is just not a good thing for you to do. It's not good for you. It's not good for your family. Not a good example. Every one of them left the church. And I think that's sad. I think it's sad. You as a preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong, convince them, rebuke, correct, warn, urge, no check marks yet, and encourage. Okay, we'll get a check mark there. That one's good. Let's look at verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate and endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and foster the errors that they hold. Here's the bottom line. You can pick a certain kind of teaching that you want to hear, and you can pick stuff that will never confront you or make you squirm in your seat at all or make you change. I went to a church for years and never changed. One iota. I would act like an idiot all week, go to church on Sunday, go back home and act like an idiot the rest of the week, fight with my husband, talk about my neighbors, gossip about everybody, go back to church. And that's not what we're called to do. That's not what we're called to do. God didn't save us just so we could be entertained. He wants us to be conformed into his image, and he wants us to be light in a dark world. Every single one of you is a preacher. Every single solitary one of you is a preacher. You may not all do it from a pulpit, but every one of you is a preacher. And if your mouth is not being used to preach, then your life certainly should be. Everywhere that you go, your life, you should be a sermon at work, a sermon at the grocery store, a sermon in your neighborhood, a sermon in your school, and you should do it without ever having to open your mouth. We cannot blend in. We have to stand out.
So remember, the way we live our lives may lead people to Jesus during these last days. And we have an offer for you that is the best thing you could ever ask for. It's the Word of God. This is the Battlefield of the Mind Bible. Now, when we're talking about the end times, everything that we need to know is written in God's Word. He gave us the roadmap. It's not always easy to figure out, so we put some helpful things in this Battlefield of the Mind Bible that I think you'll really appreciate. This is brand new. It contains Joyce's teaching notes from Battlefield of the Mind. It also has every scripture throughout that is about the mind or the mouth highlighted. So you can go through and look at those things that will really help you make sure that you're thinking in the right way. And then it even has prayers that will help you, PowerPoints, which are just little illustrations that will help bring God's Word to life in your life. So make sure that you pick this up. You are really going to love it. Do it now. Coming up, Joyce is going to answer the question, why shouldn't I be afraid of the end times? But first, we want to hear your voice. Are learning a lot from this show, and we love hearing from you. We asked you to share what emotion God has helped you to manage. Michelle from Ohio shared this. I suffered with fear for many, many years. I was afraid to be alone, couldn't go into an unoccupied room from the time I was a little girl until my 30s. I was always terrified someone would break into the house. Finally, a friend helped me identify that fear was a tool of the enemy. She prayed for me, and I changed what I allow myself to listen to and watch on television. The crippling fear that gripped my life has been gone for a long time now. And Tammy from Ohio says, I asked God for patience when my first son was born. Boy, I learned that when you ask God for patience, He'll give you reasons to be patient. But I do have to say, I don't get angry as quickly as I used to when I was younger. Well, thank you for sharing those. We do want to hear your voice. If you could talk to your younger self, what would you say? Let us know right now on Facebook. Go to Twitter. Use hashtag EA. I'll let you know that Amy, who's in the back, she said that if she talked to her younger self wouldn't listen anyway. But I'm sure that is not the case with you. So let us know what you would like to tell yourself. Joyce is about to answer her final question for today. But first, here's what's coming up next time.
Somebody has provided for me, somebody being Jesus, this awesome place down there as an inheritance where there's righteousness and peace and joy and all my needs are met, and it's just going to be wonderful. I'm going to be free from all these bondages, but you can kind of see it, but there's a jungle between you and it.
Based on some of the things we read in the book of Revelations, you may feel a little nervous about the last days. But that may come to an end after you watch Joyce's answer to, why shouldn't I be afraid of the end times?
One thing's for sure in the last days that we're living in, good news, we do not have to be afraid. I got parts of this where you'll shout. You know, in Genesis 47, it says there was a famine in Egypt and the conditions were terrible, much like they are today. Let's look at Genesis 47, 27. And Israel dwelt in Egypt in the country of Goshen, and they gained possessions and they grew and they multiplied. Now, you know, this would be like saying that there was a famine in Texas, but the children of God all lived in Houston. And there they grew, they gained possessions, and they multiplied. You know what this is talking about? This is saying that we live in the world, but really, we really don't live in the world. In case you haven't read it, we're in the world, but not of the world. We actually live in a place called the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, there's a protection. I can tell you, I do not feel one bit of fear about what's going on in the world today. I am not the least bit afraid of not being taken care of. I'm not afraid that I'm going to be hurt. You hear all the violence out there. I'm not the least bit afraid of that. I feel so safe in God's arms. I know that God is going to take care of us. You don't have to be afraid. The word teaches us that in the last days that men's hearts will fail them for fear. But we do not have to be afraid. And just the very fact that we can get out in the world and not be afraid is going to be a witness and a testimony to the world. One of the greatest ways that we can be a witness is to be calm when it seems like we should be upset. To be happy when it seems like we should be miserable. To feel safe when it seems like we should be afraid. And the only way that that can happen is if you know God and you know how much he loves you and you know who you are in Christ and you know that you have a blood-bought covenant with him and he has promised that no matter what is going on in this world, that he is going to take care of us. Amen. Everybody say, I'm safe. Safe in God's arms. Exodus 8, 21 through 23. Else, if you will not let my people go, behold, now this was, God was speaking through Moses to Pharaoh. If you will not let my people go, I will send swarms of blood-sucking gadflies upon you. After reading this, I thought, I am really glad I'm living in the new covenant. Blood-sucking gadflies, what in the world is that? And I will send them on you and on your servants and on your people and into your houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of blood-sucking gadflies. And also the ground on which they stand will be full of them. But on that day, I love this, I will sever and set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, and there no swarms of gadflies will be there. So that you may know that I am the Lord your God and I am in the midst of you. Yay, we don't get any blood-sucking gadflies. Isn't that good news? All right, and there's more and more and more. To be honest, everywhere you read in here, God's people were always protected. Hail came everywhere else. Fire and brimstone, but not in Goshen. Passover, when all the firstborn were killed. God's children were protected. Noah taken out of the flood. Lot taken out of Sodom and Gomorrah. God always found the righteous, and thankfully we are made right with God through the blood of Christ. But let me say this. It's not what we're made right with God through Christ, but however, if we are right with Christ and we know that, then there should be an outworking of that, which will be right behavior in our lives. We don't behave right to be right. He makes us right, and then out of that, we walk that out, and we do have right behavior. You guys clap loud at some stuff and not at all of it. And that doesn't mean we have to behave perfectly. Nobody is perfect. That's why we have Jesus. But I think we need to have a heart intent and set on serving God in a way that's going to be pleasing to him. I should be able to go into any church, anywhere, and preach on spiritual maturity, dying to self, holiness, anything like that, and people should get up on their feet and clap and cheer. We can't blend in. We can't be like the world. We can't be like everybody else. Sorry, you can't have your cake and eat it too. It was the righteous that were taken out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Righteous Noah was the most righteous man that God could find. Now, yes, we're made right by the blood of Christ, and what a privilege that is. But we have to take that seriously, and we need to get before God and say, God, do everything that you need to do in me so I can represent you the very best that I can represent you out in this world. You know what I'm asking? You'll have to use your imagination because I didn't bother to bring one, but if you would think about a three-way light, say I had a lamp here that had a three-way bulb in it. Okay, let's just say the church is on the first bulb. I'm asking people to turn it up two notches. I'm asking people to get it up another notch. I did bring one example. Let's just say that all week I'm hanging out with the sinners and the people in bondage, and I've got on my raggy, ranting and raving, gossiping at the lunch table like everybody else. But Sunday morning's coming. Woo! Get on my holy robe and go to church on Sunday morning. Woo-hoo! We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Monday morning. Anybody understand what I'm saying here tonight? Come on, give God a praise. We can't be what I affectionately call Sunday morning saints and Monday morning sinners.
It is really reassuring when you understand God's good plan for our life. He doesn't want us to be in fear. And if we really read what the Bible says, it's so much more than the little parts that we take out that maybe give us fear. It's the whole picture. It's the good plan that He has for us. So today we are offering you this brand new Bible. It's the Battlefield of the Mind Bible. Now this is the Amplified version, which is what Joyce always uses. And it also has many helpful tips in it. So as you're reading along, all of the scriptures that have to do with the mind and even the mouth are highlighted so that you can find them and learn how to change the way you think. It has Joyce's teaching points, and it has a lot of other really helpful things. This is going to be a great help to you. And remember, through these times, if you tend to get a little bit tense, if you get fearful when you see what's happening in the news, go back to God's Word. The whole point is that He is in control, and the fruit of His Spirit in your life bring you patience and peace and love, not fear. So grab this Bible, whether it's this Battlefield of the Mind Bible that you can get today or the Bible that you have sitting at home, but hold on to that with your life because that is what will make the difference for you. We'll see you right here next time.
The preceding program was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.